We want to welcome everyone today to the March 10th edition of the Ag Market Network, a monthly cotton review. We're brought to you by our sponsor, Bayer Crop Science. We want to thank them for their support. We could not do this without them. We want to also recognize our lead speaker today, Dr. John Robinson. Dr. Robinson is professor and extension specialist in cotton marketing. He's at Texas A&M. In addition to John, we have our panel, Dr. O.A. Cleveland. We've got Kip Butts and Gerald Nieper will be joining us. John will be discussing yesterday's USDA crop production and also supply and demand report. And then John also comment on how these low cotton prices are likely to affect world cotton acreage. John, thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you, Pat. So I'm going to begin with a little quick summary of the WASDE. It won't take very long, I don't think, and then get into some of those other considerations about acreage. The March USDA numbers were, in their own words, they were no change, no change, and no change. If you looked at corn, wheat, and cotton for the U.S., basically, and that's not all entirely surprising given the time of the year. I personally wasn't really anticipating any adjustments to the production numbers, and we didn't see any adjustments to anything else either, exports. There was some slight tinkering taking account of some land in South Carolina that ended up not getting harvested. They lowered harvested acreage, but they bumped up yield, and that completely offset. So U.S. production didn't change. U.S. bottom line didn't change. So where we are, just to sum that, is we're basically ending the year at 3.6 million bales of carryout, which is within 100,000 of where we started. And so we're definitely in a neutral ending stocks kind of outcome, and to my way of thinking, that's just more fundamental rationale for why we're in a kind of a range bound, continuing in a range bound price situation, because year over year we're not really changing what's being left over. In the world numbers were also there wasn't really a large change, although there was a small step in the positive direction, and that mainly resulted from some cuts in foreign production, mainly out of the Indian subcontinent. They cut 1 million bales out of India and 200,000 out of Pakistan. They took another smaller cut from West Africa. And even though Australia was bumped up 100,000 bales, the larger cuts to projected production prevailed. There were some adjustments to domestic meal use in those foreign countries, mainly in Pakistan, and that was mainly just because there's fewer bales around to consume. But anyway, the production cuts were the main thing, and so it ended up lowering world ending stocks by 740,000 bales, which again is a step in the right direction. But historically, that kind of a month over month change in ending stocks would be neutral, and pretty much was. I'd say the market reaction to all the reports yesterday was fairly neutral. It was trading at the end of the session pretty much where it started before the report came out. So what's probably of a bigger focus, not the WASDE, but the upcoming acreage report and how it may change in relation to the first benchmark report. So let me shift gears to talk about that. We're in the season where the market is trying to gauge how much new crop production there's going to be. And so we have these benchmark reports just to remind the audience. In the United States, we have the Cotton Council comes out with their, I'll just call it their New Year's time frame, where they survey a large sample of growers, and that report comes out in early February. And this year, they projected 9.1 million bales up in just about everywhere, up in nationally 6%, and up in Texas 5-point-something%. Since then, we've had a lot of speculation. The price, cotton price, has come down considerably, and it's come down just within that period. So that got me thinking other years where this sort of thing has happened. So I've done a little number crunching, which I'll just summarize in words for you because you can't see the chart. But oftentimes when we have these benchmark reports, you've got the early one from the council, you've got the mid-March one from USDA, and then the June 30 report's going to come out. Sometimes we see variation just even within that time period. That variation can be as high as 10 or 15% up or down, that meaning the final number is 10 or 15% higher or lower than, let's say, the early projection from the council. The average change from early in the year to that June final count it averages around 7. So typically there's a 7% change either up or down. And you can imagine the reasons why we see those changes. Sometimes, you know, within a first quarter of the year, we see big swings in prices, either cotton prices going up or down, or corn or soybean prices going up or down. A good example of that would be 07 and 09. Corn prices took off like a rocket. Matter of fact, as I recall, a bunch of us were at Beltwide in 2007. In the days that we were at that conference in January, corn prices went up $1 per bushel while we were there, and they did it all during the first quarter. And as a result, cotton acreage that had been projected early in the year by the council, actually what was actually planted and measured in June, was a whole lot lower. That was one of those years where the percent change was negative and it was a lot lower. You can think of other reasons why cotton acreage might change, and 2011 is the best example of a weather-driven, weather and price-driven. If you recall, in 2011, we were in a situation where cotton prices were historically high, the insurance price was historically high, and we were sitting in a drought situation that everybody could see coming. And so what was reported to USDA as prospective plantings in Texas in March went up, that was like 6 million bales, it went up 1 million bales to 7 million bales by the June report as a result of these kinds of forces. Okay, well, I'm belaboring all this stuff to say I don't see any of those kinds of forces at play now in this year. We've certainly, competing crop prices started off the year lousy, and they're still lousy. Cotton prices started off the year lousy, and they've gotten a little lousier, but it hasn't really changed the calculus of anything. And we're also not, you know, if the rain has done anything, it may force some acreage that was intended for corn to something else, because maybe the corn couldn't get in because it's too wet. But we're certainly not in a drought situation, so we're not going to have one of those drought responses. So what might happen? Well, I'm going to focus a little bit more on Texas here. My understanding in a nutshell of what the council gave as their rationale for measuring a small 6% increase nationally and a 5.7% increase in Texas year over year was that the Texas acreage, we were at least, even though the economics are you know, bad, if you just look at budget numbers and break evens, you'd have to ask yourself, why would anybody plant any cotton? You'd have to also ask them, why would they plant any wheat, or why would they plant any feed grains? But the reason given was, well, we were going to replace those acres, at least replace those acres in Texas that in 2015 were prevented planting due to moisture, and there were hundreds of thousands of acres like that, particularly in South Texas, but also a little bit in the Panhandle. So the council report sort of had that rationale, that in Texas we're going to at least replace those acres. Then we have a tentative estimate from USDA offered at their outlook forum, and that was a little higher. That was 9.4 million planted in the U.S., and the rationale in a nutshell there was, well, the USDA folks thought we're going to plant probably a little more over and above the replacing the prevented planting stuff. We're going to replace some of those acres that at the margin went to grain sorghum last year in Texas. We had very high grain sorghum prices. So we're going to replace some of those with cotton too, and that would give us something in the 9.4 million range. And so as I've read people's writings, some people think that is going to be the situation. I've heard a few opinions that are going to take us back to a lower estimate of planted acreage. It sort of depends on what you're emphasizing. If you're just looking at the straight up economics of it, you know, you'd have to wonder why would anybody be doing anything, but the reports I hear from different parts of the country suggest that what's going to reinforce cotton plantings is, you know, within Texas, it's just basically that Texas cotton loses the least of wheat being your alternative or grain sorghum being your alternative. Wheat is going to lose cotton is going to lose the least, and that represents basically people defaulting to what's normal, which is a cotton-dominated type of planting pattern, particularly in the South Plains and the Rolling Plains and the Coastal Bend. So I think cotton acres going to be up just for that. And I think those growers and their bankers are, you know, they're gambling on strong yields, making extra pounds to get them through. And they're figuring correctly, I think, that the LDP economics will be there supporting prices somewhat. And so that's their view of it. Outside of Texas, in the Mid-South, I'm hearing more positive things from people along the lines of, well, the gins are offering very strong rebates as an incentive to get growers to grow cotton. And between good forward contracts or kind of baked in LDP economics plus those gin rebates, I've heard forecasts as high, you know, people are expecting to lock in as high as 70 cents or 71 cents. And given that, cotton is more attractive than corn and soybean alternatives. And so I had a few people in Arkansas tell me that they expected that the percent increase year over year there would be higher than what the council measured, which I think was 25%, that it might be 30% or higher. And I've heard a few positive reflections like that in the Mississippi Delta. So, you know, we'll have to see, but I wouldn't be surprised if the increase in cotton acres, at least in the Delta states, is at least as high in percentage terms as what the council projected. And then I think the response in Texas year over year is going to be a little bit higher than what the council projected. I tend to agree that we may get, you know, again, 9.3 or 9.4 nationally, meaning that we'll get 5.2 or something like that in Texas, at least. And my last point is, okay, having said all of that, I don't think it really matters whether we get 9.1 or 9.4. The planted acreage, well, it's basically still at the low planted acreage. It's a low planted acreage. And so what's going to be a greater variable in determining the supply outcome and the price outcome is what happens with the weather. And to be honest, you know, if we have a low planted acreage, hopefully we will have very strong production, have very good yields, have very good quality, and make over 15 million bales of production. And if that was to happen, it would help growers at the farm gate. It would probably keep us firmly in the same price range where we are now. It wouldn't give us any fundamental rationale for prices to rise from where we are. On the other hand, if we have a low planted acreage, which I think we're going to have one way or the other, and then we have some kind of a production problem, if the weather pattern shifts to a dry La Nina kind of thing, and if that happens in June or July, and that could be, I don't know that that would long-term give us higher prices, but that might give us the highest prices of the season. I could see a weather market basically developing that would probably come and go, but I could see futures pushing the highest to the upper end of the 60-cent range or pushing towards 70 cents in that kind of a scenario if it was to unfold that way. But that's what I want to leave people is, the acreage question, I don't believe, is the biggest question. It's really going to be what's the weather and what's the yield and what's the abandonment going to be. Because either way, it's going to be a low planted acreage. If it's 9.1 or if it's 9.5, that's historically speaking, that's a relatively low planted acreage. And so what we have to be concerned about really is what comes after that. Pat, that's basically what I was prepared to say, so I'll hand it off to you and we can explore this a little more.
All right. Well, let's open this up. We're talking about acreage in the U.S. and I'll just direct this to anyone that wants to talk about it in the panel. What about overseas? What about world numbers? What about China? Do we hear anything there or India? Gerald, what do you hear?
Well, you know, a couple things. I noticed yesterday that some India ministry had put out a deal that said that they were going to cut the tech fees, if you will, to Monsanto by 70%. Of course, Monsanto was saying, you know, they're going to appeal it or appeal to somebody's better sense. But the fact that, you know, not only are they supporting the growers over there, but they're just saying that they're going to cut out 70% of the tech fees to Monsanto, that could be an interesting development. I mean, I suppose Monsanto could say, you know what, then you don't get any seeds at all. They end up going back to whatever conventional varieties they may have in inventory. So that's a crapshoot over there. China, you know, it seems like everything that you can get your hands on that seems somewhat reliable is another, you know, 7 to 10 to 12% reduction in plantings over there. I do find it interesting that, you know, I think almost virtually every country in the Northern Hemisphere this year had a lower yield than a year ago, equal to or less than a year ago, and yet China had a record yield. So I don't know if they're I just don't know if you're ever going to get an accurate production number out of China or not. It doesn't seem like, you know, we'll ever know. And they may not ever know, you know. I mean, probably the best you can hope for over there is you know, somebody's guessing right or wrong. But it doesn't really matter right now in terms of supplies. I mean, look, we've knocked 20 million bales out of production almost versus a year ago, and we're down, you know. We're down. Consumption does not seem to be responding a great deal. I think it is responding. It's just not working its way through the system fast enough to give this market a helping hand. John, how do growers think they're going to get to 70, 71 cents? Do they think that they're going to hedge here and then hope that the pop gets another 5 to 6, 7 cents larger?
This is in the calculus in the Delta region, and it's based primarily on like 10 cents. I hope I remember that correctly, but gin rebates that come through like they're worth about 10 cents, and then a projected pop payment or a forward contract.
Oh, okay. So
the merchants in the Delta are actually offering a 13% equity in plant cotton. So it's coming from the merchant. From the merchants themselves are offering that 13-cent equity, and that basically is the bulk of getting up to 70 cents. It probably falls a little short of that, but they're thinking in terms of.
Well, Owe, are you hearing that we're going to see an increase in this area, in the Delta, in the Mid-South, with that kind of price? I would think you're going to see people planting cotton around here.
Well, I do continue to hear that. I've been a bit of a bear on that because of just futures, but they continue to tell me as recently as yesterday that, no, we're going to plant a little bit more cotton. And I still am suspect of it, but they appear to be rather firm. They are about to change my mind, so to speak. I had dropped down and just thought it would not be real, but I do believe that we may end up planting that much cotton.
Well, wait, let me interject here for just a minute. This is Kip. I've heard the same thing. I'm hearing more on the lines of 11-cent equities. I have heard the 13. I don't know how widespread that is. But I am hearing that these merchants are getting – one of the problems we've had as far as getting cotton acreage in the Mid-South is for the farmers to get a loan. And if they have that contract in hand with that 11-cent equity, they just go in and it makes it a lot easier to get a loan. The other thing that's going in, I've been talking to some of these farmers that's kind of going in their mind is, with cotton, you got that 10-month loan period, and you can, you know, kind of play that LDP. So the combination of getting a little bit better financing if you have a contract in hand, and the 10-month loan. I think that's leaning more and more farmers to think, well, maybe I'll do a little bit more cotton. So we're hearing the same things. You know, it's just I think having that contract in hand at 11 or 13 cent equity has made a big difference here lately.
Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead, O.A.
No, that's good. No, go fine.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is we got a lot of Texas farmers listening to us right now wondering, well, why don't I get that? And is the answer because that merchants feel like they're going to grow cotton, they don't need any incentive?
Yes, the answer to that question, not to be blunt about it, is I think the reasonable expectation is that cotton is going to get planted anyway. I mean, we have a lot of the same concerns about, well, what will lack of financing do? That may take people out. Will that take acres out? I really don't think it'll take that many acres out. And there's other questions about, well, what will the farm program and peanuts do with the margin too? Will that reduce projections of cotton plantings? And then, yeah, I don't know. It might a little bit. We'll have to wait and see. But we're still going to have a lot of cotton planted because, you know, that's what we do, and we really don't have that many alternatives.
Pat, I think you're correct that the Mid-South and Southeast merchants is a little bit more in a situation where they're, quote-unquote, if I may, they're having to buy acres. They're having to compete to get those acres. And just to double-check with Kip there, yeah, you do hear more of an 11-cent equity. Initially, we heard last month, it started out probably even 6 weeks ago. Most of the talk that I was hearing was around 13 cents, but it's back down to around 11 cents now for the most part.
Okay. Last month, we OA led our discussion, and we had Ed Jernigan as a guest speaker on, and the subject was the vulnerability of cotton, the nervousness over China's reserve announcement, and then speculators were getting shorter, and the people that typically would buy the market had backed away. I guess the question for anybody is, do we hear anything on the China's reserve announcement, releasing that cotton? What's the newest on that?
Still no announcement.
No announcements.
They're just waiting. Everybody's hanging and waiting.
Well, does that, OA, does that continue to make this cotton vulnerable to being pushed down again?
Well, I definitely think it does. Pardon me, I was a little slow getting up this morning. I know the market was trying to slip back down some more last night, and I don't know if it did or not. But, yeah, there's still, you know, the Chinese markets themselves, they've been hit awfully hard, and the Chinese funds have been in the ice, been in New York hitting the market, and they've come out a little bit, but they're still very heavy on the short side, and I just think we've got to be concerned that it goes back down. We've not gotten clear signals that we've quit going down, that the bottom is in. We've gotten some. So the market is extremely nervous as we just simply wait more information as to what's going to happen. Let me just leave it at that. The market remains extremely nervous with that sitting over its head.
Well, go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, cotton right now, the old crop, May cotton's down 37 at 56.22 with a low of 56.06. New crop, December cotton's offered down 49 at 56.10, and the low is 56 even. The export sales came out this morning, and cotton was 185,100 running bales. Vietnam was number one taker at 72,500, and then you got Brazil and Turkey and Japan. So the cotton was down 18 before that report came out, and right now it's down 38. So I just wanted to just throw that out there.
You know, this is Kip. I'm going to comment on that, kind of along that line. I think part of the function of the current market and current crop is to find a level where they can get mills to get interested in buying U.S. cotton. Export sales have not been stellar. USDA's got it at 9.5. Informa, we've got it about 9.3 or 9.350. I don't remember now. But the fact of the matter is, you know, the cotton is, U.S. cotton is just not selling like we wanted to in the world markets. I think part of the function here is to get this price down to a level that mills will start to buy it. I think that the Chinese thing is problematic because everyone is like waiting, well, when they finally announce prices will go down and I can buy. Well, this could go on a long time. I think the function of the market is to try to get it low enough to get people to buy cotton.
You know, Kip, I would tend to disagree a little bit. I mean, you had 200,000 bales in total sales. You only need to average, 88,000 bales a week to come up with USDA's export number. We had the best export shipment number of the season, which isn't saying much. I mean, we needed to pick up the pace on export shipments, so I'm actually a little more encouraged after seeing today's export sales and shipment numbers that will meet or exceed, you know, USDA's export level. I think some of the difficulty in terms of selling U.S. cotton is just the qualities. I mean, we've got a lot of odd qualities this year with the rains and everything, I'm not so sure it's a price thing as much as it's a quality thing.
Yeah, I've heard that too, Gerald. That we just don't have it.
Any other thoughts?
Seeing a 252, that's a good export number this week. So, and that's been sort of what's pushing me down a little bit. I'm not going to disagree with you, Gerald, but we'll just agree that maybe it's somewhere in between.
Right, we definitely have to keep up a good pace. We have to export, 200,000 bales plus every week to get up to that 9.5. So just because we saw a good week this week, I would agree with you, Kip. I mean, we've got to see some continuation of this.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about the market. Let's start on the West Coast. Gerald, give us your thoughts on, and you can give us your feel for old crop and new crop. How low can we go? How high can we go?
I think with the generic certificates situation, that's basically a put option for the U.S. grower. So there is some protection there. So I think last year when we didn't have the generic certificates, I think that tended to keep things somewhat supported. Now I think, that doesn't necessarily mean that price, it means that prices can move lower. And maybe they need to move a lot lower to discourage the Indias of the world from overproducing. We know that China is going to be down this next year. Indications are that India may not be down. They might even be up this next year, which I'm finding that hard to imagine. But certainly if the Indian government is going to support them with prices, and if they can force feed this reduction of the tech fees in, and Monsanto, eventually relents and says, okay, we'll sell it to you, but we protest. That certainly would indicate that their plantings could be up. We're all waiting for the Chinese, and I think that some of the bearishness on the Chinese speculators is, or maybe a lot of the bearishness on the Chinese speculators is this anticipation that maybe they're just going to flood the world market with cotton. And I don't think that's the case. I think it's going to stay internal. And you might see some ELS come out of China, but I don't think you'll see wholesale exports of poor quality Chinese cotton. There was an article the other day that Wei Chao, the largest mill in China, was asking the government for a little more freedom on these import quotas because they don't have the qualities in China to spend what they need to spend. Which might be a double-edged sword. I mean, okay, maybe they import a little more U.S. cotton, but then, or other cottons, but then the Chinese are forced into making things even more attractive in order to induce the Chinese mills to take on those supplies. It's very difficult to project what may happen. Very tight supplies, I say very tight, relatively tight supply situation outside of China, and no doubt very loose supply situation in China once they start to releasing cotton from the reserves. So, I don't know. This year, maybe we retest the lows at the very least, go back down to the 54.50 area. But as far as an upside is concerned, I'm trying to figure out what's going to get us back over 60 cents in the near term. And there's no fear in the market right now from the buyers that they can't get what they will eventually need. And until you have some sort of fear, you know, among the shorts in the market, it's, you know, what, 54.50 to 57.50, 5,800? We're just going to sit here and churn and churn and churn until we figure out what the Northern Hemisphere has actually planted. And then it becomes a weather market again. So, you know, new crop, I still have some optimism that we'll get back up over 60 cents, maybe even as high as 65 cents, but we may have to flush out. We may have to test 45 before we can get back up to 65.
Hmm. Okay. John, give us your forecast here.
So for old crops, as far as on the low side, just go, I don't know, go down 3 cents from where we are. And, yeah, I don't see old crop prices getting over 60. And on the new crop side, you know, we can trade from where I think we're going to be is oh, good gosh. Yeah, again, 53 or so possible on the low side for December. And, you know, if we end up planting a low number and if very bad, hot, dry La Nina things kick in, you know, and if headlines get raging and funds get buying, you know, I could see us going back to the upper 60s under that scenario. Whether that's going to happen or not, I have no idea. But it's, you know, it's possible. It's possible, just initially it's possible because of a low planted acreage. So I'll say upper 60s as a remote possibility.
All right, Kip, what are your forecasts?
Well, going third, I'm almost repeating what those fellas said. I'm a little bit more bearish, though, on the current crop. I think we could probably see lows 50, 51 cents. Again, it's what I said earlier. I think we're just in a scenario where cotton's got to compete with alternative fibers. And to Gerald's point, if we do have a lot of strong exports here for the rest of the year, which I can't necessarily say we won't have, then maybe we don't quite see those lows. But I'm a little bit more bearish on current crop. New crop, I mean, what can you say if we – there's so many ifs involved here. You could be almost anywhere. I won't be surprised if we touch under 50 cents for a very short period of time. But I like John and Gerald said, you know, 65, 66, 67 cents, that's probably top end for December based on what we think we know today.
All right. OA?
Well, as I've said, short crops have long tails, and we're still tailing downward, I would say. I noticed one of our foremost speakers commented something possibly down as low as 45 cents, and that gets us down to the level of where polyester is being traded. And another speaker commented we need to get to, or we might have to be forced down to the alternative fiber prices, and that's the upper to mid 40s. So that's where I have to go to. It's all about demand. It's 100% about demand, nothing else, because we're in such an oversupply situation, and until demand can raise its beautiful head, we've got to think about those lows being somewhere down at that level where competing fibers are, and those chemical fibers, 48 cents, 45 cents. So that's the low, in my opinion, coupled with the great big huge mix of the reaction and slash overreaction we'll get when China, if and when they ever give us a formal announcement. The high side, sticking strictly with fundamentals as we know them today, I have difficulty getting above 60 cents at all. I think we stay down below 60 cents on the new crop. If we do have, and cotton's just like everything else worldwide, we're in such an oversupply of corn and soybeans and cotton that being strictly a fundamentally driven now, it's going to take a weather scenario to get this crop higher. And I don't get anywhere near toward the mid-60s at all on my high side. I'm probably in the very low 60s on new crop, even with a weather disaster.
Okay. Any other comments anyone like to make? All right. Well, a good meeting today.
Hey, Pat, one last thing. You know, we talked about the Chinese speculator, and last week the Commitment of Traders report showed this other reportables position. You know, if you're not a swap dealer, if you're not a if you're not an index fund, if you're not managed money, then you're an other reportable, and that's you know, everybody who's you know, grandfather died and left them a little extra money, and they think they'll play the commodity markets, or you know, they're the Chinese speculators or something. But that's at a record net short position since those reports have come out. That might have relieved itself somewhat when we had a rally back up to the, you know, 57.90 the other day. But there's still a lot of short people, and you got to wonder who's going to continue just to keep pushing and pushing and pushing this market down. So at some point you run out of sellers, or you run out of sellers because, you know, everybody's as short as they can get, or they figure they're just that much closer to wherever prices can go, and so it can't fall. So until we get some sort of a, you know, an indication on this, it's hard to get overtly bearish even from right here. Just because it seems like the people who've jumped in on the short side have pretty much jumped in already.
Jill, I agree with you totally in that regard. I would say, though, that we on this little rally we did see, unless I'm mistaken, we did not see open interest decline hardly any. If I'm thinking like 90 contracts, it was down. So, I mean, to my thought, granddaddy's money is still in that market on the short side. But, yes, we've got to have more short funds come in, very importantly. And there is some question as to what kind of funding is still available to hit the short side.
All right. Any other comments?
Sorry, Pat.
That's all right. No, we like that. Well, let's go ahead and wrap up. We want to thank our sponsor again, Bear Crop Science. Thank our cotton panel, Dr. O.A. Cleveland, Kip Butts, Gerald Nieper, and also our lead speaker today, also a panel member, Dr. John Robinson. Also, thank you, listeners. Thanks for being with us. And that concludes this edition of the Ag Market Network. Thank you.